I'm just going to flow with the Holy Ghost here. I had a message. Seems to happen these days. I come out with a message that I prepared, and then on the way down, God changes it and says, no, I want you to speak on this. And then I get up to speak on it, and he says, no, I want you to flow. So it's not like the plumber who went to his girlfriend and said, it's overflow. No, okay. Did you come expecting tonight? Let me just read the verses of Scripture that I usually read. The Lord has told me to do this again wherever I go. And this is the words of Jesus when he came back after being tested of the devil. He was out for 40 days and 40 nights, being baptized in water. And he quoted the book of Isaiah when he went into the synagogue. And in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, the acceptable year of the Lord is now. Amen. This is the year of Jubilee. In fact, it's more significant now if you go in through the Jewish calendar. It is very significant this particular year. And we're going to start to see, if we haven't already, many moves of God that is going to just shake this whole nation. Amen. And let me just flow with this for a minute. The offices of ministers, you've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, fivefold ministry or fourfold plus one. Okay, some people like to get a little bit off on that one where teachers are concerned because everybody teaches when they're up doing this sort of thing. But what I want to tell you is the pastors are always a standard thing. The teachers are always a standard thing that's been going through history. What we haven't seen of late is the apostles and the prophets. And I want to tell you something. They're coming back like never before. And we've had people like John Paul Jackson, who Gordon would have followed in his ministry, who has passed on. But you know, when a seed dies, then a new seed is raised up. And we're going to start to see more and more of the apostolic ministry coming into the forefront. We're going to see more and more of the prophets' ministry coming into the forefront. And I'm actually seeing it now. I was in a conference, two conferences recently in Nottingham, and the majority of the ministers that were brought in there were of apostolic portion. In other words, we had the apostles and we had the prophets. We also seen the evangelistic side, which was more in my line, where we seen the healings and this sort of thing coming in. But coming with that is the prophetic anointing that is coming into the body of Christ, because we've become so complacent within Christendom that we're more like a traditional church. In other words, the Pentecostal churches are not flowing in the things of the Holy Spirit the way God has intended them. And God says, I will build my church. Amen? And so what God wants to do is wants to raise up people. And every one of you in this place has a calling upon your life. And as I said, I'm just flowing with what the Lord's saying here. But there are those of you that are called into apostolic ministry. There are those of you that are called into evangelistic, pastors, teachers, all of that, and the prophetic. And I know people in here who move in the prophetic. I know there are prophets in the making in this place because I've met with them and I've talked with them. God has seen fit to send me back to Australia again. I'm going this Wednesday for 7 weeks. And the doors that have opened for me because I'm being sent out under an apostolic covering from here to go to that nation. And I'm going into New South Wales to begin with, and there are doors opening for me in Queensland. And already people are coming back and saying, we want you to pray with this one, we want you to pray with that one, we want you to go to this hospital, this one's got cancer, and this one's got that. I didn't do this. This is the office that we get placed into. And so whether you like Barry or not, or whether you agree with what I say or whether you don't, I am in an office whereby I am here to minister the Word of God to you, and it's up to you to receive what the Spirit of God is saying. If it's of Barry, if it's self, throw it out. Because we all have an element of walking in the flesh. Amen? But what I am saying is, God has given me a mandate to bring the Word of the living God to you. And it's up to you to receive it from what the Word says, not necessarily me. So I want to tell you this. If you're sitting here tonight and you have a problem, either in sickness, either in where finances are concerned, you're faced with a decision that needs to be made, I want to tell you tonight, through while I'm talking to you, whether you get up here at the end to come up for ministry or not is irrelevant. You can receive it right where you're sitting, right there. Amen? And I just want to share a couple of testimonies because nobody else did. I was in a cafe this week, and there were two ladies sitting in it, and then this other lady and gentleman come in, and one of them turned around and said, "You're a preacher." And I said, "Yeah." "I have a back problem. Would you pray with me?" I said, "Yeah." So I walked over in the middle of the cafe, laid hands on this woman, and she was healed instantly of the back problem. Now, this has nothing to do with Barry. This is to do with me being obedient to the will of God and stepping out in simple faith and believing that when I prayed over this person and she received it, she get what she believes she received. And this is the simplicity of the gospel. And for all too often, what we do in Pentecostal circles is, and especially Protestant-type circles, if you get my drift coming from Ireland, is we want to analyze it. We want to try and work it out. Would God really want to do this for me? I mean, I did this the other day, and it didn't happen. Right? I remember a time I was in a meeting in Belfast. And, yes, Lord. God spoke to me to give this particular preacher some money. I'm going to talk about money because this is something you all need to hear. And my wife and I were sitting there during the worship, and he said, "I want you to give what you have to this man." I had £150 in my pocket. Ooh. And I'm going, "Are you serious, Lord?" He says, "I don't mean the money in your pocket. I mean the money in the bank account that you've got set aside to take you and your family to America." Now, there was quite a considerable amount of money in that account. Okay? I said, "Okay, Lord, you prove it to me." Now, my wife's standing doing this, worshiping God in the praise and worship. And I said, "If she tells me to give it all," you know, you always obey your wife, don't you? "Yes, dear." And I says, "If she tells me to give it all, I'll give it all." So I'm nudging her, and she's going, "What?" And I says, "God's telling me to give this man an amount of money. Barry, don't annoy me. Just give it all." I went, "What?" Met the man. I gave him all the money the next day. And I want to tell you, 2 weeks later, I had £40,000 in my bank account. 2 weeks later. Now, am I given to get here? Am I being one of these blab it and grab it? No, I'm being obedient to the will of God. God wants to bless his people. Do you know that Jesus talked more about money in the Bible than he did about anything else? Because what we do is we try to hold on to it. Do you know, I've never yet seen a trailer in the back of a hearse. Think about it. You can't take your possessions with you. You can't take your money with you. But I tell you one thing, if you give it over to God and you give all of yourself to him, he will see to it you will never go without. Now, can I get back to my word? Thanks, Lord. What I was going to share, or what I am going to share a little bit on, is on Luke 4, 18 and 19. But I just want to touch on a couple of things here, because we can get so caught up in the mundane things of where we're going in life and think that God's not going to do whatever for us, because we're so caught up in the worldly things that's going on around us. And I want to tell you something. God was calling each of us to go deeper with him, to get into a more intimate relationship with him, that he can call you his friend. You know, like he called Abraham, "My friend." Wouldn't you love for God to be able to say to you, you know, "Gordon, you're my friend"? I would love God to speak to me like that. Now, I've heard the audible voice of God twice. I've seen angels. There are angels in this room tonight. Spirit of God is in this place. The anointing on the music was just perfect. Even before you all came in tonight, I was sitting here and they were practicing through the songs. The anointing of God came down in the room. Why? When you come to a meeting, come to give of yourself to what's going on and focus on the things of God. Because God wants to touch your life. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to open the blind eyes. So, let me just have a little look at this. And I just pulled this out. I don't know where I got this one from. I haven't had this for ages. But Luke 4:18, it says he wants to... He has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. See, the gospel is to everyone, but he's talking here about spiritually poor. If you are walking in the things of the flesh, you are spiritually poor. And to be spiritually poor means that you're not spending time in the Word. You're not spending time in prayer. Amen? Yes, okay, Lord. I was in a house the other morning. I stayed with this family up in Scotland. The guy's wife is up in bed with a back problem, studying the Word of God. I get up every morning at 6 o'clock and spend time downstairs on my own and prayer and study and so on for a couple of hours before I do whatever else I'm going to do. While I was downstairs, she was getting the same scriptures and same word from God as I was getting downstairs. Exactly to the scriptures thing. And we were talking about it a little later, and she said, "You want to see what I got this morning?" I said, "Well, you want to hear what I got this morning?" And we both hit exactly the same. Do you know why? We're of like spirit, and we want to spend time with God. I want to spend time with God more than I want to spend time with people. And I think that that's where God's been drawing me over this period of time, is to get closer to Him. Why? Because if we will put our whole trust in Him, our whole trust, there is nothing that He will not do for you. Do you know that I was coming down here in the car today and I had flu symptoms all over me from lunchtime today? In fact, I even had someone tell me, "Barry, you shouldn't go to the meeting tonight." Come on. If you've got sickness in your body, this is exactly where you need to be. "I can't go tonight. I'm not feeling well." What? Get out of bed and get your rear end into the church and let God deal with you. You know. Sorry, I'm just Irish, all right? Praise God. So, spiritually poor, the gospel meets us when we have nothing left. Whenever you're at the end of your tether, when you're at that place where you just don't know which way to turn, and I'm not just talking about the unbeliever here, I'm talking about believers. When you're at that place where the finances aren't coming in, the notes on the bank's calling down on you, and everything is falling apart, instead of running away from God like I did a number of years ago, hear me now, but thank God He grabbed a hold of me and He brought me back, set my feet upon a rock. He'll do the same for you. And it doesn't matter what you're facing tonight. It doesn't matter whether it's a financial crisis. It does not matter a hill of beans. What is going on around you, God is well able to deliver you and to set you free from whatever it is. If you've got a call in your life into ministry, don't go banging on the doors to get it. Sit back, be still, and listen to the still small voice of God, because God's going to make a way where there is no way. You see. And all too often, we get caught up in these things of what's going on around us when God says, "No, come, set yourself aside, come in with me, and just wait on me." You see, God will always answer your prayer. There's power in prayer. It may not be the answer you want. It may not be the answer right this moment. It might be weeks. It might be months down the track. It might be years down the track before He gives you the answer. But believe you me, He will bring the answer to you. I've waited a long time for this, for to be here. And I'm here for a purpose. And I'm here tonight because this is where God wants me to be. And you're here tonight because the Spirit of God drew you in here. Whether you wanted to come or not. Some of you didn't even want to come tonight. Some of you were reluctant to even get out of whatever you were doing because maybe there's a show on TV and you wanted to watch. I don't watch TV anymore. I have no time for TV. And I can tell you, I was a film buff. I watched all sorts. I watched movies that come out of my ears. I don't watch TV much anymore. In fact, I don't like it because all it is bad news from bad news to bad news to bad news. I'd rather think on what the Lord wants to do with my life. Prayed with a woman. Let me just share this with you. Some of you people here have got loved ones. I'm just going to flow and forget about all this. I'm just going to run with whatever God says here. You've got loved ones who have either strayed away from God or are not walking with the Lord today. Okay? Let me give you an example of something that happened. In the conferences down in Nottingham that I went to, my daughter had been away from God for some years. But leading up, so is my two sons, but they're all coming back in. Amen? You train up a child in the way they'll go? Come on. So my daughter's sitting down in Nottingham, and she phoned me up one day. She says, Dad, there's this lady's in hospital. She's got two babies. One of them is not very well, and they're moving it to another hospital to do an operation on. Dad, we don't want them to do the operation. Can you pray? I said, yeah. Now, you got to understand here, my daughter has stepped away from the things of God because of her mother's death, okay, and walked away. Whenever we prayed, the child didn't have to have an operation. Come back to the same hospital, and they're all home doing well. Subsequently, the conference that was on in Nottingham was instigated by my daughter while I was in Australia in January this year, through the pastor's fiance meeting her at her workplace. So at the conference, we were praying before we went to it that my daughter would come. Her husband is unsaved, doesn't know the Lord. And I'll tell you even better than that, this church was a black church, all blacks. We were the only white people in the place. You could have spotted us, by the way. She turned up on the Sunday afternoon with her husband and children. He's not even a believer. And I'll tell you this for nothing. Years ago, leading up to maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, this guy was a racist. He hated blacks. With a passion, hated black people. Turns up at a black church. Come on, has God got a sense of humor or what? Turns up at a black church. He's not even saved, the guy. Came after the meeting and he said to me, he says, I'm coming back to this church. I love this church. They've been going to the church ever since, and that's from March. So don't tell me that God can't arrest your children, your family, and draw them in on your behalf. We just got to keep praying, keep believing, keep standing, keep trusting God. I've had to believe God for everything in my life. And God has moved mightily in my life in numerous ways, even to the fact that I'm heading to Australia this week and the doors that He's opened for me. But that doesn't mean that I have got money coming out of my ears. It means God has met my need and He's taken me step by step by step along the way. And none of us are exempt. None of us. So, then He says, He wants to deal with the helpless. He wants to deal with the hopeless. In Romans 5 and 6, He says, when we are without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. So when you don't have any strength left to do anything, whether you're a saved person or an unsaved person in this place tonight, God says, I will draw you out of that. I will give you it because my strength will lift you out of that. My strength will bring you from poverty into plenty. Now, in Matthew 5 and 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, God knows your infirmities. He knows what you're going through. He knows when you're up and He knows when you're down. Do you know, there's something that came to me the other day that really rattled my cage. And I never really thought of it before in such depth. God sees everything you do. Think about that. Everything. He hears every word you speak. So when you have a row with your spouse, God's listening. When you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, God sees. Yet he's not going to hold that against you. Because in Psalm 91, he says, he forgives you of all your iniquities and all your sin. You see, God's not trying to keep you out of heaven. He's trying to get you to a place that you will trust him in everything. And I want to get over to something else in a minute because God just dropped something in my spirit there. The brokenhearted. There is no healing compared with the gospel. The good news is for those that are bruised, those that are broken. You know, have you ever been brokenhearted? Have you ever had your heart broken over a loved one? Either someone who's gone off whatever or has died or whatever the case may be. I have a brother back home. His daughter killed herself a number of years ago in Australia in a hotel room. She was 21. Brokenhearted. Still hasn't got over it. He's not a Christian. You see, when my wife died, it took me a long time to get over. And I don't even know if I'm still over it in that sense. But I'm in a place where I'm trusting God that he is ministering to me in that, out of my grief. And words that were spoken over me way back then. See, the old story, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because words are powerful. And even God says, he says, so shall it be that my word that goes forth out of the mouth shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish and prosper unto the sent. So God says the power is in the word that you speak. So if you're speaking sickness and disease, if you're speaking unbelief and doubt, oh, it's never going to happen to me, oh, God never does nothing for me, I never get this, that, and the other, then all you're doing is speaking against yourself. What we should be doing is saying, no, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What's my need today? My need today is food on the table. My need today is health in my body. My need today is to pay a bill. You know, that which has been stolen off you is going to be returned in these last days. God is saying to it, he is bringing back into the body of Christ all that they've lost, all that's been stolen. And there's been stuff stolen from me over the years. I've lost 3 businesses over the years, not through my own fault, but through bad decisions that were made. So I know what I have lost, but I know what there is to gain. Because, you know, God says to me, Barry, I'm going to restore all of this to you. Not for your own little bank account, but so that you can further the gospel. And you see, I love Jesus, you see. And I'm in a place right now that where I've never been, I don't think, before, where I can truly say, he is my Savior like I've never known. And I've been a Christian a long time. I'm saved in 1986. God is good. And you know, even though we go through heartache and we go through pain and we go through suffering, God says, I am there with you always. And you know, I mean, when I walked away from God, it was... And I explained this. Some man tried to get me saved again. I said, but I'm not unsaved. I said, I know I'm saved. I know the gospel. I said, I'll tie you up in knots with scripture if you want me to. And he said, but you said you're a backslider and you said you're this. I said, listen, let me explain it to you very simply. I said, I have a son. I've got 2, but I talk just to him, I want 1. I said, he's born of my flesh. He's my son. He's related to me. Blood of my blood. I says, when I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, he was my Savior. God is my Father. So I've got a father-son relationship there. I says, when my son has a row with me and decides, I don't want to talk with you, I don't want to be with you, I don't want to have anything to do with you, does it make him any less my son? No. All it means is that our fellowship has broken. But our relationship is intact. He's still my son. And God said that to me. He says, you're hurting right now, but there's a day coming. And I can thank at least 3 people in this room who were instigators in praying fervently for me to come back into the things of God in this room. So praise God. I got to run with it. I'm going to move off this because God's telling me to do this. And I'm not going to spend much time on it, but I do want to say this to you. One of these nights I will get down to teach some stuff. Let me say this to you. The three Hebrew children that Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down to the image. Right? And this image was 6 cubits. That's about 90 feet tall in gold. And he built this thing. And they decreed that everybody should bow the knee to this and worship this image. And these three young lads turned around and said, "Not so." And they went to Nebuchadnezzar and they said to him, "We will not bow down to your image. God will deliver us. And then they turned around and said something profound. They said, "But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down." Hear me, church. And you know, God was speaking to me about this. And he said, "You know, Barry, there's people who are Christians and they're worshiping the wrong things. Their idols are either musicians, cars, money, whatever it is." He said, "And they're focusing on that. Oh, they've believed me to get the answers, and they've got it, but now they've started to focus on the idol, and they're worshiping it. Because everything's okay." I sing a song called "God on the Mountain." When you're on the mountain, your faith is great. There's no problems. It's when you're in the valley, among the trials and among the temptations, that's where your faith really counts. Now, I'm a faith person. I stand and I trust God by faith. That's how I live. You see, because the Bible says without faith, it's sin. Yeah? If you don't walk in faith, you're walking in sin. The Bible says that, not Barry. Three Hebrew children. And Nebuchadnezzar turned up the furnace 7 times. That's a hot place to be. The thing was, they got the strong men, the strongest, most valiant men that he had, to tie them up and throw them into the furnace. And as they were doing that, those men that were throwing them in, every one of them died. You know, the strong man that has come against you, God will kill him off for you if you'll trust him. And the thing is, they went into that fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar looks, and he says, "Did we not throw 3 men in there?" He said, "Yep." He says, "Well, I see a fourth, and he's like unto the Son of God." Now, he meant gods, as in, because he didn't know the God. But nevertheless, they came out of there, and not even a scorch on them. They didn't even smell of smoke. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying, don't put your trust in things. Put your trust in the thing giver. You hear me? Let's look at it a different way. Moses. Children of Israel, disobedient, disillusioned, caused all sorts of problems for 40 years. And there was a time that it came that God even sent serpents in to bite them. Why? Because of their unbelief, because of their doubt, because of their murmuring, their bickering, their gossiping, and all of that. And God sent the serpents in. And Moses went to pray, and he said to Moses, "Moses, make a brass serpent and put it on a stick." You see it in hospitals these days. A lot of them wear that. Yeah? Here's the interesting thing. When they got bitten, anybody that got bitten, when they looked upon that, they were healed. Here's the problem. It became years down the track where they started worshiping the brass snake and not God. Here's an interesting thing. The word used is only used once in the Bible, called Nehistan. Only once. And do you know what it means? It means a brass snake. That's all it was. And the reason I believe that was is to say that this thing is insignificant. It was a symbol and a type of our Lord. And the thing what God is saying to us is, stop looking at the problem. Stop looking at the situation. Stop looking at the things that's holding you back. And look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because in Him, we live and have our being. Amen? And I believe tonight, if you're sitting here tonight, I know I haven't gone on a proper track here, but I do believe, I feel this is just really coming from the Spirit of God. There's those of you in here that need healing in your body. There are those who need answers to prayers that you haven't been getting. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4, don't speak out of your mouth a froward mouth. And the old word for froward, or the termination for that, or the word for that means don't be double-minded. In other words, you can't speak doubt and unbelief out of one side of your mouth and then speak faith out of the other. It's either one or the other. And I determined, and I used to be like this years ago, and I sort of weaned off it because of my being away from God for a while. I used to never allow negative talk come into our home. Neither did my wife. We never spoke anything other than what God said. When somebody said something about sickness, we said, no, the Word says I'm healed. But you've got sickness on you. No, the Word says I'm healed. It doesn't matter whether it's on you. It has no right to stay on you. And what we used to do, we used to stand on the Word and stand on the Word and stand on the Word. And we seen God move miraculously time and time again. And you know, God spoke to me just a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago actually. And He was saying the same thing to Susie in Australia, exactly at the same time, because we phoned and we had a conversation about it. She says, you know, God's saying exactly the same thing to me. That from here on in, not a negative word to come out of your mouth. That's hard to do when you're faced with problems and situations. I'm throwing this out there. You do with it what you want. As for me and my house, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm not going to look to the left nor to the right. I'm not looking any other way, only up. Some of you are in fear. You've heard the old saying, false evidence appearing real is fear. Let me give you two others. Forget everything and run. Yeah, and many of us are just, oh, forget this. I'm off. I did that. And then we can come to the other side of the coin. Instead of saying that, we can say, face everything and rise up. Face everything and rise. Why? Because our God is big enough. He has got all power, all authority, and He will touch your life tonight if you want it. Amen? But you have to receive it by faith. And you know something? I prayed with someone a week and a half ago who also had a back and hip problem. And they came into the cafe this week, and I was in the cafe again, and they told me that all the pain is gone, but it didn't go immediately. It went about 5 days later. You know, the Bible says, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have what you say. And you keep believing. You keep believing above the circumstance, above the situation, and it will come to pass. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word tonight. That, Lord God, your word has come forth as you have directed. And I thank you, Father, for the voice, Lord, that you've given me. That, Lord God, this is not of me. I have got nothing without you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that the people that are sitting in this room tonight, that, Lord God, that have heard your word, that, Lord, that they would be determined to receive what you would say unto them, take hold of it, and run with it, Father. And I thank you and praise you, Lord God, ahead of time right now, that those that need healing tonight, those that will stand in faith and believe for it, Father, that, Lord, they will not be disappointed. But, Father God, it is a simple faith, simply to believe. And, Father, I thank you and I praise you as it goes forth tonight that you've touched the hearts of these people. In Jesus' name, amen.